Have you ever started a new hobby and thought to yourself, I need everything. Take my entire paycheck. This is my new identity. I want it all. Well, I have. And one thing I've learned when it comes to gardening supplies is that very rarely do you need to spend a dime. You guys are going to get the secrets from an expert gardener on what she uses when it comes to free items that are around the house that, to be honest, I use more than I use of the stuff that I paid money for. We are talking free and not dangerous, free and most likely dangerous.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
But most importantly, we will not be entering the greenhouse to get you examples of what I have actually used over the years, the haggard versions of this, because I can't get into it because there's too much snow on the outside and the door swings outwards, and I can't get into it because the roof broke and it's now officially a part of Mother Nature. So yeah, welcome to Canada. It's like minus 41 degrees Celsius right now. My dogs are lifting their paws up because they're cold, so I do need to go inside now. All right, bye-bye. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to shame anyone who did spend a little bit of money on their new hobby because, let's face it, some new stuff, whether it's gym equipment or a new seed starting tray, it does help motivate you to want to try and adopt that new hobby as a lifestyle change. However, in this economy, I am what I like to call an opportunistic gardener. I'm not poor. I'm not forgetful.
A few moments later.
I'm literally trying to film a video right now on seeds I'm starting, like my garden plans this year. You think I'd remember to get seeds when I was out today? No. That would be silly too. So here are three categories that I never once had to make a purchase inside of. That I made a purchase inside of that I'm gonna save you money on. Number one is seed starting. So I have everything from soil bloggers to dibbers to trays, hacks. I also have ambient environment changers for abiotic factors mostly, which is just a really fancy terminology for factors that aren't alive. So we're talking air movement, heat, lighting, that sort of thing. And the last one is pest deterrent. Cats are not included in that because these cannot be deterred. Can you be deterred from eating my plant? Oh no, okay. He says, if I fits, I sit, don't take me out of my home. Is this your home? If you use this as a litter box, you're up for adoption. Get it? And no one will want your bad luck, according to most people. With the way my life has gone to date, that may be true, especially since you've come into the picture, mister. I'm joking. Because it is the season, number one is going to be the dibber. Now, these are popular. They come in all different shapes and sizes. You've got small ones for seed starting, and you've got bigger ones for planting in the garden. However, more powerful than the dibber, than small shovels, than fancy plucker thingies is a spoon. So number one is you can grab a file or a rock even and actually measure out 1 inch across the whole spoon, which is the one in the greenhouse actually already has this on there. I have also used hockey tape. That might be because I'm Canadian, but regardless, I have used hockey tape. And you can mark out the inches on this. So you can actually use this for figuring out seed depth and moving the soil around to make the actual physical seed hole. I will say I don't love like the ones that kind of get big at the end. I don't love those. I do really like the ones that are skinny all the way down. And if you go to a thrift store, you can find ones like that because at some point in time, those were in and those ones are fantastic. These ones, they work, but they're not my favorite. Who would have thought you could have a favorite spoon? Okay, number two is actually bumping up. So bumping up is the process of taking the seedling out of the tiny little seed cell and bumping it up into a larger container of some sort. Now, the bumping up process in and of itself is incredibly valuable because it actually makes for a stronger plant. And there's a number of different reasons for that. I have videos on kind of the science behind that if you want to check those out. But regardless, it's wonderful for that. And this is where a winged spoon such as this actually comes in handy because this has too much of a scoop and can actually do more damage. And it's also usually too large. But the winged end works wonderfully for going into the actual cell and scooping the plant out without having to tip the whole cell thing over and kind of like bang it out or like pinch the edges. which has a whole host of issues if you've ever had to do that. The end of a flat spoon or a knife, fantastic for it. Knife's not my favorite because they don't have like the scoop. The scoop is the important part. Plus, they last longer than the plastic dippers, and they don't release microplastics into your soil. Plants. Not that that matters at this point. Apparently it's in the water.
She's right. Microplastics smaller than a grain of rice then end up inside us.
And lastly, when it's minus 40 some degrees outside and you are in your house by yourself, it makes for a wonderful musical instrument to entertain yourself with. Because like I said, in this economy, I can hardly afford cable at this point. Okay, the next one, let's get this one out of the way because it's obvious, but that is going to be yogurt containers. So yogurt containers are fantastic for both seed starting and bumping up. In my case, I usually use most of it for bumping up because your bestie, Ashley, your favorite geek member, decided to get a Ninja Creami because her friend got a Ninja Creami and she's trying to lose weight. And so she decided to make a lot of protein ice cream because ice cream is one of the food groups. And now I buy a lot of yogurt in bulk and I end up with some big containers. However, they're like the perfect size, particularly for tomatoes. So they are slightly bigger than what your normal nursery pot would be, and obviously cheap because it's free. So I have an overabundance of these things and they work wonderfully for that. Now, I will say that technically these do release microplastics. I did a whole video on plastics and that goes into details on what plastics release what. So the Coles Notes version of that video is simply that food safe plastics are safe to use with plants. So obviously a yogurt container checks off that box. However, another thing to think about is even food safe containers, once they're heated up or scratched, do begin to release microplastics. So if you have older yogurt containers that you've reused for, I don't know how many years it takes to see scratches and weathering from heat on your yogurt containers, but whenever that happens, technically you should consider not using them anymore if you're concerned with microplastics. So here's the thing. If you get nursery pots or seed starting things that are from countries that are not Canadian or American or European, I would assume as well in Australia. Anyways, if you get them from out of country in a place where they don't have to regulate plastic or they don't recycle plastic, you don't end up with numbers. So this is a great example of a nursery pot with no numbers on it. A reused nursery pot, it was from the greenhouse and I don't like throwing them away. So I do wash them and reuse until they're within an inch of their life, but they won't have a number on it. However, on the back of your yogurt containers, you will have, usually it's number 5. I'm getting old because I can't even repeat. Number 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mumbo number 5.
Classic video, you're laughing right now for my obsession with Pete at the time. Anyways, number 5 is the number that I usually see for both the yogurt containers and the seed starting container. So I don't know what these ones are made out of because they're not marked, but most reputable companies are making their seed starters out of number 5. And that's actually what these yogurts are made out of, which is why I feel okay recommending them right now. Do I think the science on that's going to change yet?
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a 5-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
However, if you don't suffer from gluttony, such as myself, when it comes to yogurt, paper is a great alternative. My grandma actually had done this before. Same with my mom. And it's kind of like this origami thing. If you're not talented in arts or crafts, such as myself, or you simply want to stay neutral in the trade war, toilet paper. I actually have no idea if Canadians make their own toilet paper, but what I can say is that this was worth more than the Canadian dollar during COVID. So it's got to be worth something. And now, if you don't wipe and you own a bidet, do you wipe if you own a bidet? I have no idea. Regardless, if you're a man and you forget to use the toilet paper and so therefore you don't have a lot of rolls laying around, soil blocker. But your hands, instead, it's been a long winter. We all know our forearms are nice and strong by this point. Literally, it's just compaction. Just literally make a square with your hands. You should be that talented. Now, if you have a paper shredder that can actually shred cardboard, this is my last seed starting hack. And that is replacing vermiculite corrugated cardboard, not toilet paper cardboard, but corrugated cardboard does have a very similar texture and effect to vermiculite, and therefore it can mimic it in some ways and in some applications. So if you use vermiculite, particularly for top dressing and or seed starting smaller seeds that are photosensitive, absolutely a great alternative. Next up is items that change the ambient environment, particularly the abiotic factors within that environment that are free. So we've all seen it before, the crazy grow tents that truthfully do actually help enormously with the seed starting process and just indoor gardening in general. This is because of the reflective surface inside of said tent. However, the alternative to this is Mylar, tinfoil, white stuff that is reflective in nature. This actually, truthfully, after using grow tents over the years, all of which have been taken down at this point, it's much easier to use Mylar or tinfoil or white stuff that isn't sealed up because I don't have to use any air conditioning or dehumidifiers or humidifiers. It's much easier to control the heat in particular. However, if you want to learn more on Mylar and tinfoil and white wall type stuff, I do have a video on that very recent that you should check out because it goes into more of the particulars and the science of it. Next up is pop bottles, milk jugs. I have them everywhere, and that is because they're incredibly valuable and not just for one thing. So obviously the ones I use with my houseplants are for like a slow release of water. However, when it comes to gardening applications, you can use these for winter sowing. You can use these for cloches, which essentially are ways to transplant or harden things off outdoors a little bit earlier, combined with greenhouse effect to help with germination of seeds, because seeds that are covered tend to germinate a little bit faster or quicker, even in the outdoors. So the key here, if you choose to use these outdoors, is that when it begins to get hot outside, you want to make sure the cap is taken off, or if you're using the bottom of the container, that there are several holes poked into it or you remove it during the day. It's great, like I said, for keeping things warm at night, but it can cook things, particularly toward the end of spring, beginning of summer, if you choose to leave them on in the heat of the day. So just keep that in mind. I won't want you to kill your plant babies. Let's talk pest deterrents. Weeds are everyone's nightmare, and quite often organic methods aren't the greatest when it comes to killing weeds off, except for this one, and that is homemade vinegar. So before your fruits, in particular, actually apples, cores, peels, you know, you can literally do this with any sort of fruit it will work with. Before putting these fruits in the compost, try fermenting them in water. It's very simple to do. I have a very old video on it, but regardless, it will make vinegar, and vinegar, whoo, Landa, she'll kill everything, including the plants you don't want it to kill, but most definitely will kill weeds. So if you have a spot in the yard where you don't want anything to grow, we're talking brick or cement or gravel, douse it with some vinegar that you've made from home and you will see beautiful things. And then of course you can compost those fruits and vegetables after that point because it still is compostable. It's just a little bit decomposed already. Bonus points for if you use vinegar around the perimeter of your garden, the fence line type thing, because mice and voles are apparently repulsed by this stuff. Now, I'm not confident you could pour it on the ground and then be repulsed, but maybe containers of them. I haven't tried this and I actually don't know 100% if it works. But hypothetically, I mean, if I had a very intense scent of vinegar, I probably wouldn't love it either. So it's possible, don't get me wrong. But one way you can use vinegar to actually attract pests is by putting eggshells in it. So if you're silly enough to put eggshells into vinegar in hopes of getting more bioavailable calcium, which you hope will end your blossom end rot, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, it doesn't work, you may actually be increasing the amount of mice and birds in your garden, because mice and birds both love eggshells. So if you have done this, and you have mice, and you have birds, your next free item to use is going to be pie plates, fabrics that you can make into scarecrows or slit in a way that they have unpredictable movements. Birds absolutely despise that. Or burnt CDs from past lovers.
I actually have these. I'm not going to out you. But based on the name on that CD, I didn't look at you. That's why you gave me the CD. It's because you wanted me to look at you more often.
All of these things, they scatter light, they scare things. They're deterrents in some way. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I do find it very specific, not only to location and how often the pest that in question has been exposed to that deterrent. But regardless, they're great ways if you hang them up. Make them do crazy things, they will turn them off. Probably one of my favorite pest deterrents is old fishing line. So I personally love fishing, and you should change your fishing line for whenever you do catch the big one, although it never happens to me. One day it will. You want to make sure your line is not rotted, and so you will remove said fishing line. So rather than disposing of that, you can use that in the garden. And I find it really good at deterring dogs, cats, larger critters, because it's invisible. They kind of run into it. I wouldn't use it, you know, in an area that's very exposed to a lot of animals, wild animals in particular, because it can do some damage. But if we're talking like your backyard where you're just trying to keep your cats and your dogs out of it, fantastic. And you don't need a lot of it. You just need to like sporadically put it around, and they hate it. It'll take them a couple times of running into it and getting tangled up on it, and they're done with it. So like I said, use this one with some caution, but it works fantastically. And again, make it unpredictable. Don't just do lines, do something crazy. And speaking of unpredictability, geeks, that's the end of the video. So if you want to watch my most recent video, that is it. And that's what Google says to watch. So watch it. Because they're the ones that pay me, so they must know something.